This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I am Jason Whitlock. That is Marcellus Wiley. That dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you if the Clippers are actually outsmarting the Lakers right now.
And I got a Super Bowl edition of the Emmy Award-winning That Dude's Dude.
Da-da-da-da.
It ain't gonna be boring. We'll start every day with a Whitlock. So what you got today, big dog?
Oh, Marcellus, the rapper J. Cole has a popular song out right now called Middle Child. Mm. Well, Jay Witt has a verse today about an only child. Upbringing and capability explain us all. That's why LeBron James is no mystery. He's an only child, an extremely talented one. Those two facts explain the current dysfunctional state of the Los Angeles Lakers. Those two facts explain why James sat at the end of the bench last night alone during a 42-point loss to the depleted Indiana Pacers. Those two facts explain why chaos and upheaval follow James from organization to organization. Those two facts separate James from Jordan. The king is an only child. Mm. It's really that simple. LeBron James grew up alone, an only child to a very young mother and no father in the home. His physical gifts made him an attraction for adults and the envy of his peers. Only children are showered with attention and affirmation. LeBron bathed in, swam in, and was submerged in attention and affirmation. He is the Superman of only children. He can leap tall obstacles with a single bound, and he can create dysfunction with a single tweet. LeBron's apologists ripped Kevin Durant for pointing out the obvious. There's a toxic environment around LeBron James. Coaches routinely get fired. Teammates routinely are discarded and diminished. Cities are routinely abandoned. The most talented player in the history of the NBA is a gypsy, a rolling stone. He's the 40-year-old, never married, smoke show. Why? Because he's a freakishly talented only child. Like a lot of only children, LeBron is a high achiever, selfish, mature beyond his years, desperate for positive affirmation, independent, sensitive, stubborn to admit when he's wrong, and a creative thinker. Not all those characteristics are negative. But many of them are not ideal in a team sport, especially the need for praise. Athletes in need of affirmation are hard to coach and manage. There's a reason LeBron produces TV talk shows where no one challenges a word he says. There's a reason he panders for likes and retweets on social media with politically correct hot takes too shallow for even Amy Schumer. LeBron is an affirmation junkie. That's not the characteristic of an all-time great competitor. Yesterday, Tom Brady says he doesn't like being called the GOAT. He said he'd rather be criticized.
I wish you would say you're trash, you're too old, you're too slow, you can't get it done no more. And I would say, thank you very much. I'm going to go prove you wrong.
Sound familiar? It sounds just like Michael Jordan, the other GOAT. Jordan drew inspiration from his critics, both real and imagined. Brady grew up with three sisters. Jordan was the fourth of five siblings. Magic Johnson had eight brothers and sisters. Magic, Brady, and Jordan all came from traditional nuclear families. In this new anything-goes society we've constructed, it's impolite to point out that traditional families build better products and prodigies. Before some of you descend into your fake Twitter outrage, let me inform you my parents divorced when me and my brother were young. I was raised first by a single mom and then by a single dad. My upbringing was not traditional. I didn't say these things about LeBron for clout. It wasn't for fame. It's not because my wit logs aren't selling the same.
Ha.
I just wanted to give you something you can feel.
Mm.
LeBron on your team ain't always real. All right, all right.
Why are you
joining the desk now? Our NBA champion, Dante Jones, Super Bowl champion, Greg Jennings. Marcellus, I'm going to throw this grenade in your lap first. Is LeBron being an only child in his upbringing part of the reason dysfunction follows him?
Absolutely not. Look, I wasn't the only child. I grew up in a nuclear family, so I'm not talking from experience. Are you only child?
No.
Okay, gotcha.
Me and my brother.
Yeah.
But you got a stepsister I'm very close to.
Yeah. But you are a 50-year-old, never married, smoke show.
That is true.
I love you, boy. What's interesting about LeBron James and what we call toxicity is really the first generation of social media meets stardom. We've never seen a guy who comes in with this much hype, this much expectation, and social media being his climate, being where all of this noise is going to come together and explode along with this same player exploding into greatness. What's happening is there's no parents to social media. There are no people out there that could fully advise someone on social media. You know why? Because this is the first generation of social media and stardom. So what you're seeing is gas meets fire and an explosion that we're not necessarily learning how to contain. But it will be contained going forward. You see even LeBron matures through his own social media experiences, his passive aggressiveness, some of his tweets. He's learned how to mature that way. Kobe Bryant, others who played without it and played with it, learned to mature with this. But to put it on him and his childhood rearing, it's interesting. This is a little side of this conversation, but I remember people always telling me, what you gonna do with your son and your kids in terms of upbringing and make sure they still have the same hunger you had? And I was like, what do you mean? They was like, well, you grew up in the hood, you grew up broken, and you were hungry, and that's why you got there. That was part of your ambition. And I was like, you don't know the hood, do you? Don't you know the rich get richer? Don't you know that generational wealth comes from already having something? And that, no lie, going to the hood, more people don't make it out the hood than make it out the hood. So guess what? The hood is not the reason where you get your hunger. Because if that was the case, guess what? We will all sit there in the hood and say, we're all starving. We're all underserved. Let's go get it. That's not the chorus in the hood. The rich get richer in this world because you have to pass down something to even start with something. It's a rarity, it's a unique experience to be someone from nothing to make something. I give LeBron James all the props in the world. I would never condemn the man, the character, or the player in this respect, because whatever it was that he was placed under in terms of circumstance, not only did he survive it, he thrived in it. So I don't think anything has to do with his
Before parents. Anybody else jumps in, I just want to clarify. This is not condemnation. Mm-hmm. This is
it
may sound like it to people that don't want a fair analysis or an honest, objective analysis of what's going on with LeBron James. These are facts about only children, the selfishness, the independence, the need for affirmation. These are clinical studies that have been done. And we can use those to evaluate LeBron James and perhaps some personality quirks in him that make him always rely on LeBron James, always need positive affirmation, always run into some dysfunction. That's not condemnation, that's a fact.
Yes.
That's like someone sitting there saying, Jason, overweight people die early and have heart attacks. That's not condemnation of me. That's a statement of fact.
I appreciate your daringness, and I love the question and the conversation, and me disagreeing didn't mean
No,
negative.
I understand that.
As an only child.
Oh, there we go. Here we got one.
A need for affirmation. It takes me back. The need for affirmation and the toxicity are the two things that stand out to me. Affirmation is one thing as an only child I didn't need, and I survived under situations where I wasn't getting it. So one thing that made me go to Duke was the accountability that Coach K had lined up in hand. He said, listen, we've set the standard for winning, and there's an expectation that comes here. You have to earn your stripes, and there's nothing given to you. And that's all I wanted. And being under his leadership, he found ways to lead people in different ways. But as an only child, the more you affirmed me, the worse I did, which helped me develop a chip on my shoulder. So he learned how to motivate me by kind of taking things away from me and making me earn whatever I got in that situation. Look, toxicity in LeBron's situation is something that I do not agree with. It's the accountability to win at all points and times. When you have somebody that successful and that good that holds people to a standard on a daily basis and there's media attention involved, that's what some people may call toxicity, but others who are used to it call winning culture. The ability and the expectation to win is not toxicity, it's just expectation. And some great franchise have that, like the Spurs have that expectation to win no matter who's on the court. But since they're not in the spotlight or a media market and they have pop, you don't call it toxicity, you just call it the culture. Mm. So you have the expectation on you to win when you have LeBron James. And it's not for everybody. That's what some people don't understand. Like, Spurs go recruit people who are like their culture. That means people who expect to win and will do anything to win. And some people in basketball just don't want that attention to have to win at all points in time.
Only thing I will push back, and Greg, I'm going to let you jump in here, is just as it relates to affirmation and your experience, I don't think it's the same experience as an only child as LeBron James, who from about the age of 11 or 12, it was discovered he had unbelievable skill that was going to lead to a pot of gold. And that draws a lot of attention and a lot of affirmation. And again, the studies on only children are pretty conclusive. And it can't just be a one-off aberration. This is how it was for me. We'll circle back.
Okay. For me, what stands out is the toxicity. Like, saying that he creates a toxic environment, I know Kevin Durant said it, and that's the question posed right now. I completely disagree with that. Dante, you bring up a great point. His expectation is completely different than anyone else on that hardwood. Him coming to LA, everybody made this landscape of how they were going to ascend to greatness and when they were going to ascend to greatness. And that's a false expectation for LeBron. Everybody's saying, oh, yeah, he has 3, 4, 5 years. LeBron, his expectation and the standard we hold for him and he holds to himself is right now. I'm not waiting. I want to win right now. You want me to wait until you think it's time for us to finally develop as a team and create this core? No. If I do that, then you're going to say I failed. That's not who I am. I expect to win right now and at any cost. You tell me toxic environment is doing all the things that he's been able to do and still produce? I'm talking off the field as well as on the field. School, business, all these different things. This is not a toxic young man.
But only thing we're evaluating today is on the court and the dysfunction and going on with the Lakers.
And I think the dysfunction going on with the Lakers is what they've already, it was dysfunction before LeBron ever got there. Now he's in the mix and he's going to sift through all of that. Okay, this is what we don't need. This is what I need to win. And it's been proven. He's done it.
And so when you looked at LeBron sitting on the end of the bench all by himself, separated from his teammates.
Where he sits.
Nothing.
That's where he sits on a normal basis.
That is
even
normal.
In the Staples Center.
Yeah.
Okay, so from an
interior. By himself, three empty seats.
From an interior perspective, okay, as a teammate, being in the locker room with him. What he does put pressure on you is to get people who are focused on winning at all points and times. And then he puts pressure on the guys on your roster to either get better and focus on winning or get out of Dodge. I've seen, and mind you, I came into the locker room with LeBron James as a LeBron James hater, competing against him on a yearly basis and thinking that he's either cheating or he's not all that he's supposed to be. But then when you watch that man be the best player in the world and be in the gym at 6 a.m. working out every day, no days off, and then come back at night and then put all the time and energy into his body and be diligent and eat right and sleep right, and you see the process that goes with it, then you understand the madness behind the man. And then what it does is, when you see him in the gym, it holds accountability. So next thing you saw, J.R. Smith, the person that you said, you know what, was lost and could never get it again. He's showing at 5:45 to prove that to LeBron James. And then here comes Richard Jefferson. And then here comes Channing Frye. And then you know what? At one point in time, we had everybody in hotel weight rooms at 6 a.m. rocking. You created a culture by expectation to win. And some people call it toxic because they don't want that much pressure on it. They don't want to be that good. They don't want to make basketball that important.
You know what's crazy? That toxicity is the choice word when that implies that LeBron came somewhere and poisoned something that was pure.
Right.
Guess what? The Lakers were sorry as hell before LeBron got there.
No.
And
no,
the culture as well.
Hold for one second.
Jim Buss.
Hold for one second,
okay.
Marcus.
Let's do.
The inside of my body is toxic. If I go get a Snicker right now, I'm just adding to the toxicity. That's LeBron's a Snicker. And so, the situation there is toxic doesn't mean that LeBron didn't add to it.
Well, Miami, losing situation. Cleveland, losing situation before and after LeBron James. Let's talk
about... It's always, in my view, it's always harder than what it should be with LeBron. And again... And everybody hear this is like personal condemnation.
No,
again,
I don't think it's personal.
It was very hard in Cleveland. It was very hard in Miami. And voila, it's going to be very hard here in L.A. Whit. And that team quit on him last night.
Can you understand this, Whit? There's a difference between doing your best and doing whatever it takes. And I want people to understand that that's why LeBron James is LeBron James the king. Why Kobe was Kobe, MJ is MJ, right. Et cetera. When you're in a winning culture, when you're in a winning environment, there are some guys who are like, I'm gonna do my best, but I'm not gonna do everything it takes. And I give you a case point. I talk about myself. One of the reasons, beyond anything else, there were moments where I was like, I will do my best, but not everything, and I knew it. One, I was not gonna take a demotion in playing time. I'm not about no pay cuts. I'm just telling
right.
you the truth.
No,
like, I'm like, I'm here for separate reasons than you guys are. I'm gonna do my best. You ain't gonna never look at me and say, Wiley's slipping, Wiley not prepared, but do everything it takes. Kobe barking at you at stretch lines, the guy who's always gonna be first in line, and he's the best player, and he's the most driven, that's not for everybody. And I think that's what Dante is speaking about. That's LeBron James.
Go ahead, Dante.
Everywhere it's been hard. We look at the second Cleveland situation, and we see a coach that was hired for different reasons than when LeBron James came in. So when Blatt was hired, he was hired to lead a young group and to kind of do what Luke Walton was hired to do. Okay? That's a different type of coach with expectation of winning championships. And to have the experience to be in the NBA, when you sign LeBron James, like, okay, we hired our coach first, and now we got LeBron James, I think it was smart to look at the situation and say, you know, we don't have the right coach. Not that he's a bad coach, we just don't have the right coach to go and do what we want to do. So that's not destroying the organization. And then what happened in Miami? Their coach stayed, is there before LeBron James.
Pat Riley has more backbone than everybody else.
We only had one coach being fired. I don't understand how he fired all these coaches. Okay. Mm. And Luke was hired before. Luke was hired to lead young kids, and now he has championship expectations. And has never led a championship team. That's not his fault. That does not make him a bad coach. That just puts you in a different situation. And it could be work for him or not. Who knows? But you can't hold him to championship expectations when you're looking at a champion, a championship player. He's like, you know what? I need you to lead us to do something that you've never done before.
Yeah.
And that could be a small rift, but you never know. It could still work.
Hey, we got to talk to you in your language real quick.
What?
Whit, you've been here before, and we're talking to your world.
Yeah.
We all at the table, okay? This is your table.
Crabs table.
No.
Table.
My kind of table, party table.
Oh,
you know, okay. We at the club.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is our table, right? Only one dude pull out the credit card every single time. Guess who that is? LeBron James. He's like, oh, this is on me, y'all. And y'all sitting there like, oh, look how much love we gonna get because we sitting there at the table with LeBron. Kuzma, all them dudes getting all pumped. Our game gonna be that much better because we with LeBron. Everybody gotta grab onto him. But he the one dealing with that statement. He the one that dealing with that bill. So when you realize that, you're going to have different expectations of those at the table.
My point is, when you're not an only child, like Michael, Tom Brady, Magic Johnson, you find a way, some kind of way, to partner with somebody, and y'all share the tab. And so Magic Johnson and Pat Riley shared the tab. Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan shared the tab.
Just show me the partner, player
show me a coach like Pat Riley or Phil Jackson that the man has ever had.
See, I think that we're missing all of this because we're watching, we're comparing decade and different eras to different era to right now, and Magic and Pat Riley and all of these guys that were mentioned, Michael Jordan, they had a marriage because that was the way of the league then. That's just not the current NBA now. Guys are moving and shaking, and they are more in control to where they want to go and how they want to get things done. When you say, I'm lost on this hard thing. Like, when has winning ever been easy? It comes at a cost. Like,
say this for the all-time greats, winning has been a bit more consistent.
And LeBron's not he's not consistent?
Eight finals is not winning.
How do you
gotta get there?
The East is weak. I mean,
you gotta get there.
We can say that about Tom Brady, but we refuse to do that in the AFC.
Come on, man.
No.
AFC
in his division,
come on, man.
In the AFC in general.
Yeah, we sitting here. All of y'all are parents, and married parents, and y'all sitting here acting like there's nothing to only child's and nuclear family as opposed to. You know, the situations y'all are currently living.
We may not share well. Only children, we may not share well, but
there are issues with people that got
right, the people issues with
my
people with
way
siblings,
or the
right?
highway. Just do the research.
Time for a big story. Let's return to the NBA, where the trade deadline is rapidly approaching, and both teams here in Los Angeles have been busy. While Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss's pursuit of Anthony Davis has been big news the last couple of weeks. The Clippers, led by Jerry West and Steve Ballmer, quietly just made a big move, trading Tobias Harris and some other pieces to Philadelphia, which puts them in position to add two max players this offseason.
Hmm?
I'm going to lob you a softball, Marcellus. Steve Ballmer and Jerry West versus Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss, who you got?
No competition. Mary B and Rakim said, no competition. And you think you're funny with that lob.
It's a lob.
Lob City, you trying to joke in?
No.
Okay. Don't go there. All right. This is easy. This is really easy. I shouldn't even speak. I should just let y'all try and make an argument out of this. Lakers been rebuilding, retooling for the last 6 years, right? When that house going to be done? I mean, y'all don't have four top 10 picks, like lottery picks, like top of the draft, number 2, number 5. And then you add the king on top of that. And then you get some surprises in Kuzma and Josh Hart. That's like 7 good to great players. And guess what the Lakers are right now? Trash. Still 500, below 500. Last 6 years, finished 14th in the West 4 times. Last in the West another time, and now they're 500. This team doesn't know which way is up. This organization doesn't know which way is up. Meanwhile, in the same city, in the same building, one team called the Clippers, in efforts to pay it forward, got rid of Lob City, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, just last night, Tobias Harris, and J.J. Redick, whoever you want to go, and guess what? Still a better organization and team than the Lakers, who have been getting player after player, including the greatest player on the planet, and still can't even pass the Clippers. I hope someone can retort. If not, let's go to the next segment. Anybody?
I think it's a wash, and I think they're
a wash.
Listen to me. I think they're both great. I think LA has two great organizations, two great franchises. The Clip Bomber did a great job with putting Lawrence Frank at the helm. Hiring Gillian Zucker as the head of business operations, getting Jerry West on a consultancy. Like, he's one of the best basketball minds of my generation as far as in an organization. So I think it is a wash. And Magic Johnson as the president and retooling, they have a great organization over there as well. So I think they're in both great situations, but I think they are in the same situation. They're a mirror of each other. The free agency situation of last year, what did LA have? 2 max slots, young assets, and a couple picks. And what did the Clippers have coming up? 2 max slots, a young core, and a lot of picks. And they're going to be put in a situation where if you only get one star in free agency, what you going to do? Because it could go bad. It could go right. You swing for the fences, and it was a good play by Magic Johnson and the Lakers. But if you only get one, because there are other big markets with the same type of situation, New York Knicks, a young core, 2 max slots, and a pick coming up.
Yeah.
So now you have competition with the same type of situation. Boston has a bunch of picks and a young core. Now you're in a competition for some superstars coming up, and it could go bad. I hope it doesn't, because you have great leadership over there.
Hey, the recipes sound the same, but the chefs are different. Guess what? I ain't going by name no more. I love me some Magic Johnson. I love me some Jeannie Buss. But that's just name. I'm talking about game. Jerry West, Steve Ballmer, and the blank checkbook that he can write. Who knows? We may strike out. But I'm not going to sit here and say, well, someone else had this same situation and the same opportunity, and they struck out, and that means what the Clippers are doing. Clippers are more efficient, and they're maximizing what they have in terms of assets and resources compared to the Lakers.
I'm going to definitely side with the Clippers, because the Lakers thing is just unproven. Magic Johnson has to prove to me that he's an executive. He's got to prove it. Hopefully he can. Luke Walton is under fire. Mm. Doc Rivers is not under fire, and that's another piece.
Can you compare Luke Walton's coaching record and history to Doc Rivers?
No.
Fairly? So why does that shouldn't even be a discussion?
But again, Luke,
you can't compare them to each other.
But it counts.
So now under that he was there first, and now like Luke is.
But again, when you go into the Clippers pitch and the Lakers pitch, everything's settled. Ballmer's the owner. Jerry West is our consultant. Lawrence Frank is our president. Doc is our coach. We can sit down. This is what it's going to be. You go to the Lakers, we don't know if Luke's going to be here. We don't know. These young players are all getting auctioned off. And just quite frankly, I'm just telling you what Jerry West and them are going to say. They're going to be like me. You never know what's going to happen with LeBron James and over there with the Lakers and who he's going to like this week or next week. Come over here, choose stability. Come light the torch rather than carry the torch.
Including Magic Johnson. Like, being respectful, I'm going to use Magic words against him. He said, I'm here to bring in stars, and if I don't, I'll go. You don't even have to fire me. And he sound like Jim Buss, who said, if I don't make this team a contender in 3 to 5 years, I'll fire myself. Where's Jim Buss? He fired. He fired himself because they are not contenders, and right now they're not getting stars. They got the biggest star, singular, but not star.
Here's a quick and free way to finally stick to your New Year's resolutions. Start listening to podcasts on Spotify. With more than 150,000 podcasts, including many of the world's most popular self-improvement shows, you can learn how to balance a budget, balance your diet, and even how to feel balanced while meditating, even if you're also obsessing over when the cat was last fed. All podcasts on Spotify are free, and you can even download episodes for those times when you've gone off the grid, you know, to get all that newfound balance into your life. So get the year off right and start listening to podcasts on Spotify.
Whitlock and Wiley, joined by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings and Mark Schlereth. It's time for a Super Bowl edition of That Dude's Dudes. Marcellus, take it over.
I got something for y'all. This is the Super Bowl edition, but this one's not born of That Dude's Dudes. We're going in the trenches, Jason Whitlock.
A lot of
style.
Defensive play.
Oh, yeah. Number three right here is a Rams defensive end, John Franklin Myers. A batter ram. You're going to see him right now. You can't stop him, baby. Sticks with the play and eventually gets to Tom Brady. Pokes out the ball of the Patriots. And Tom Brady's only sack in the postseason. This is how he gets it. Running screen all day, so my man Franklin Myers is like, oh, I got to read this counter pass. Is it going to be a screen? You see his vision right here, because they were going flanked with the running backs. Oh, he decides, oh, he's not coming. All right, now let me go into this move. First, I try to lock him with my inside arm. That doesn't work, but as we know, as defensive linemen, a lot of your sacks and your pressure comes from just effort. As you can see right here, you're starting to use his leverage against him. You start to work inside, he counters, it's time to go outside. You like the hand-to-hand combat? I do too. So sometimes you got to get to your plan B, your second move. And that's exactly what John Franklin Myers does on this play. Now, as you get to the outside, you pass by Mark Schlereth. And here goes Tom Brady. Now, come on, brother. Ethan Westbrook, the ball is out. Stop trying to get a half sack that you're not going to get on the stat sheet. Damn, that could have changed the game for the Rams. But my man John Franklin Myers, you did your part. Number three, That Dude of the Super Bowl.
He got locked out.
Right. Number two, Rams defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh and defensive end Dante Fowler. This is rush hour right here. Suh with the great get off to blow up the play, and combined with Dante Fowler, it's a tackle for loss. Let's see how I get. Woo! Like, I get off.
Wow.
22 positions in the one night stand. Look at my man Ndamukong Suh get off the rock, past the center in his full extension. Oh, now I'm going to go grab the fullback, mess that up. Dante Fowler sitting there on the outside edge, coming in pursuit. It's almost like they must have seen this on film before. And then, oh, my God, Dante Fowler. Even with the new rules, that's still a clean play right there. It's not a horse collar at all. This is more of a Bradshaw clothesline. Y'all don't know Bradshaw right there. Ah, hit that boy right there. Dante Fowler and Dominican Sue with the get off in the clothesline. Number two, that dude's of the Super Bowl. But let's go to number one. We all know who it is if we're looking at the game. Patriots linebacker Dante Hightower, two tackles, two sacks, three quarterback hits, and this one on Jared Goff. One of his two sacks on the day, as we see, in a nice celebration. Don't hurt yourself. Hightower has visions of the Hall of Famer Richard Dent. This is my favorite move, too, the Richard Dent move. Just collapse them arms and work the leverage. As you can see, this is an inside reverse Richard Dent move. Ooh, Blythe didn't see that one coming because most guys don't do this. But Dante Hightower does it. But what pulls this move off more than the Richard Dent move, which is collapsing from the elbow down, you see his head is upfield. His head has to be behind the offensive line. And more importantly, look at that push-off right there. Now you can see Blythe caught. He's like, damn, he's doing a two-for-one on my guard. Uh-oh, caught out there, collapsing on the ground. Hey, I can make this block over here. Wrong guy. You can see Dante Hightower gets to Jared Goff. Celebration! Number one, that dude of the Super Bowl.
Another Patriots defensive player that didn't get one vote for MVP. Ridiculous.
Say it, brother.
All right, thank you, Marcellus. Let's move now to a guy who's been making the wrong kind of headlines, Antonio Brown, who has been embroiled in all kinds of controversy of late with reported friction between him and the Steelers, leading many to speculate that Brown is on his way out of Pittsburgh. But now TMZ reports that Brown was involved in a domestic dispute last month. And while the police were called, no arrest was made. Brown's lawyer says the report is baseless and false, but the NFL will investigate the incident. All right, we're not going to litigate whether there's any truth to this deal. What we will litigate is I stay away from Antonio Brown. There's too much smoke. There's too many. If you go back, a friend of mine, Jesse Washington for The Undefeated, wrote a great piece about a year ago about all the different off-the-field issues that Antonio Brown has. If I'm a team, I'm afraid. He cost a lot of money. He's 30-some-odd years old. He's 30 years old. Diva receivers don't win Super Bowls. I stay away.
You got to look at it through an NFL lens. So the first thing is, does his production outweigh the noise? Like, that's almost the only law, but I'm going to say there's more to it than that, right? So we know that. In a down year, he led the league in touchdowns. In a down year, good Lord. Going backwards, it's amazing. Two, I'm not a believer in accusations. My experience tells me to not believe in accusations. You don't need my belief, whoever is accusing you. You will prove it. You will go through the process, you go through the judicial system, and then that will make me say verdict, okay, it's time to make a decision versus accusation. He's too easy a target. Maybe he is doing something. Maybe he's not. There's three sides to every story, your side, their side, and the truth. I don't know where that is, so I put that to the side and go back to the only law of the NFL. Does your production outweigh the noise? And yes, it does.
Yeah, me personally, would I take him? No, I wouldn't take him. But here's the deal. I believe it was Steve Keim, the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals, that said if Hannibal Lecter could run a 4.3, we'd clarify that as an eating disorder. Okay? So that's how the NFL works. That man can play football. He's going to have an opportunity. Listen, I've gone through. There's a difference between having several different entities vying for your services. That's negotiation. Like, and that's what he'll have. Even if two or three teams say, no, we're going to stay away, you're going to still have eight teams that would say, yeah, we'll vie for those services. I went through a career where it was all about organized begging. I had one team saying, hey, we'll give you a job. And I'm like, no, can I get more money? No. But seriously, more money? No, right? I never had negotiation. He'll have negotiation. He's going to be fine because players or teams want a guy that can flat play, and he can.
Yes, period. His production outweighs everything that we're hearing and what he's done off the field. Now, does it matter? Does it come into play? Of course. Antonio, we need you to straighten up. But as long as you're producing... you know what? Please straighten up. Please straighten up. But keep producing for us.
Yeah, right.
Bottom line, and it sounds like, come on, somebody has to do something different to kind of get guys to go in the right direction and set a tone. But when his production If it's kind of like Mike, what one of the guys in the locker room said about Mike Tomlin. When his production slips, then we'll address it.
Right.
His production has not slipped. And you said it best. That's the number one rule in the NFL. Production over everything else.
I think his value has slipped. I think people are going to start.
I agree with that.
The production isn't worth it. And so then when the value slips, that means the trade value slips. And you got to just, and then when you throw on that contract that he has, I just wonder if the Steelers will get in return anything of value for Antonio Brown to make it worth their while to trade him, other than I guess they just want to get rid of him. And again, I just go back for me and my team, having watched the Patriots and other teams without these huge megastar wide receivers have success. I just, the value's not there for me.
You've been in the locker room more probably than me over the years. You know that the coach's ego is a collection of all his players' ego. And you know that every coach always sits there and says, I can coach him.
Yep.
Give him a breath of fresh air. Because, look, everybody in the NFL knows if you get cut from one team and you were good, oh, you're going to play somewhere else. Because some coach is sitting there like, let me get my hands on that dude. Oh, I'll straighten him up. Oh, my culture's different. Oh, my locker room has veteran leadership. And he hasn't even fallen down to that place yet. So I think the egos of two or more coaches is going to vie for his services.
Just as an example, Bruce Arians, who knows him well.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay will be an organization that probably won't have an interest in him based off of what Bruce Arians. Look, coaches have enormous egos.
Huge.
But you cannot coach everybody. And this dude showing up with this little blonde mustache to me, that's one. It's just a red flag. It's just
Sean McVay grabbed that whole squad and coached them up. I mean, you could do it.
You know what it'll be? There's going to be at least a couple of coaches that will make the scene from Ghost. And it'll be Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze, and they're going to be molding that clay. And some coach is going to say, man, I can mold that clay. And you know what? You may not be able to, but they believe in their own mind they can fix what ails you. That's how coaches operate, because you think the egos are big in the locker room, walk upstairs to the coaches' offices. They're some of the biggest egos I've ever been around.
Greg Jennings is back with us. Time for my favorite segment, Antisocial.
Yeah.
Our social media manager, Darnell Smith, is here to tell us what's popping on those Twitter streets. Darnell, what you got?
Crack-a-lacker. Yes, sir. Let's start off in the NBA, where LeVar Ball's big baller brand is turning to a big baller bust.
Chill.
With reports coming out that $200 ZO2 pre-orders from October of last year have been delayed until May 1st. A lot of people think this is the end of the Triple Bs, with Dan Rovell tweeting, it appears we are nearing the end of the big baller brand. We'll be a fabulous case study one day. I hate to say it, but I think it's a wrap. Do you think this is the end of the big baller brand?
Well, LeVar is going to be on the show tomorrow.
Is he?
Yeah, he's going to be on the show. Your boy's going to be on the show tomorrow.
So, my boy.
I'm going to try to play nice here, but yeah, it's over.
No, it's not. Yeah, no, it's not. This is not an
inventory. It was over when it started. It was D-O-A.
No.
Go ahead.
Look. It's an inventory model that will be over, but this is a fulfillment model. So all they do is make shoes after your order. So it can't go away. It just lives online in virtual reality. So they can still survive this. I will say they have totally missed an opportunity when you had a spark. Like, it's amazing that people clown the Kardashians for taking that spark and making it a college billion-dollar industry. You know how many people have done what the Kardashians did to even get that spark? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trillions. And how many people have got billions of dollars? Zero. But you got to respect that they had something, and they have let it go. But
they
need
a sex tape maybe then.
as long as LeVar Ball is still involved and he gets a platform to use that mouthpiece, it's not over. He's going to find a way to bounce back. And, I mean, they give a good reason why. They say they're trying to make improvements.
When's the last time you saw the big baller T-shirt?
I'm just
me. I got all of it.
You don't wear them?
Yes, what?
He's wearing it tomorrow.
I wore my Triple Bs on Christmas. On Christmas, the biggest day of the year, homeboy. I'm wearing my Triple Bs, my Mellos, and they clean. Everywhere I go, people are like, those clean, dog. And I got mine on time. I don't know what y'all talking about.
All right, Darnell,
I'm living
next?
In those spots.
Y'all smell that in the air?
What's that?
Sorry, there's some smoke in the air, man. Hey, Bleacher Report says that John Wall will be undergoing surgery on his left Achilles after reporting he's slipping and falling at home. Well, Juju Smith-Schuster thought this was pretty funny, commenting on an Instagram post saying, bruh, what you doing at the crib? With a laughing emoji. Wall didn't see this as a laughing matter and responded, funny guy and all that, but I see you around, bruh. So, Marcellus, you're our smoke detector.
I'm the smoke detector.
What level of smoke is this?
Oh, man. Ooh, we got some levels here. All right. Like, it ain't wet match because that's like Darnell wolfing at me or something. Ain't nobody tripping off you, homeboy. It's not a bonfire either because that's like Whitlock. I'm moving up divisions now.
Right, right.
But, you know, I ain't never scared. But it ain't scorched earth either, because if it was, it's Whitlock and Darnell at the same time. If he would have said, here's the address and here's the time, that's scorched earth. So I'm going to give it grease fire. Look, I don't know what kind of jokes and sensibilities you doing out there, Juju, but too much of that Fortnite, bruh. This ain't funny, and I'm glad John Wall checked him on this.
I'm going to call it a grease fire, too, because John Wall's about that life.
Yes, sir.
I would be a little careful here. Mm-hmm. Proceed with caution.
Yeah, he got them liquor store cheeks. You can tell John Wall be in them streets. Liquor store cheeks.
Let me tell you something. With John Wall, this is level 4.
Yeah.
Skip a grease fire. I don't need you to see my address. You know where to find me.
Ooh.
You know where to, and any time a guy gets hurt, and it's not in their arena, their sports-related arena.
Yeah.
You don't comment on that.
What's the joke? I don't even get the joke.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Man.
And he said, look, keep your head on the swivel. I may be there any time.
You feel me? I see you around, bro.
I see you around.
366 on the leap, brother. I'm coming on the leap.
You playing with my money right now.
All right, now what's next?
Yeah, let's revisit a topic from earlier in the show. LeBron and his teammates, who are never safe from internet trolls, someone decides to edit this scene from The Incredibles, showing all the players that have been traded or released on LeBron-led teams in the last couple years. At the end of the video, they call this Operation Brow in their Lakers attempt to get Anthony Davis. I thought it was pretty funny, but there's always some truth in every joke. Is this a fair criticism of LeBron?
Yeah. Did you listen to the A block? If they had only just added the only child thing in there.
Yeah, right.
But I did watch this morning. It's hilarious.
Hilarious.
It's clever. It's hilarious.
How long is it?
I hope LeBron and everybody has a sense of humor. It's about a minute long.
Yeah.
Oh,
you gotta, you gotta.
I gotta check it out.
Yeah, you gotta check it out.
Oh, okay.
It is hilarious.
All right.
I don't think it's.
I trust y'all.
It's a great analogy. Is it a fair criticism? No, because I don't agree that LeBron is toxic.
Jokes ain't fair.
You're right.
Oh, you're right.
But this was classic.
Look, I'm from the school that LeBron is not a teammate killer. He's an expectation giver. And basically, if you're not living up to my expectations or you're not going to compliment my greatness, then you got to go. So I respect a guy like this. And everybody who was in the feelings for the young Laker core, I like how Shaq said it. Shaq was like, why y'all crying? Like, y'all still get to play in the NBA. Whoever grew up throwing a ball in the backyard to about, if I can't play for the Lakers, I'm not going to be good in life. Like, so you're still going to get a check. You're still going to get an opportunity to go out there and ball and show your greatness. Stop complaining.
All right, time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
It's Darnell.
This is my guy. My guy.
My question of the day. My
question
of the day.
Darnell, you heal from that right knee injury on that squat, admit it. Y'all gotta watch the right knee on the squat next
time. It's messed up.
Oh, man. Oh,
I gotta
man.
See it.
That's Hamstring. Why they messed up today, man. All right. So check this out. You guys talked about Antonio Brown earlier and mentioned some things you need to get better at and kind of grow up in. So I wanna ask you guys, when you look back at some of your past mistakes and past failures, if you could talk to your younger self, what advice would you give them?
I've made so few mistakes, I may have to let y'all go first while I think about it.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I would have never went to a McDonald's drive-thru. I know that's one.
Woo!
I would have never done
Woo!
That.
Yeah,
I would have iced that
out. Yes. Hey.
Because I fell in love.
Oh, man. Don't order the 12 party pack of Gordo's Locos Tacos, because you will not. All right, let me be real. Money. I'll be real about money. You walk in with too little knowledge of what the power of a dollar really is. I would have had better systems in terms of who to give money to and how to give the money and structure. It's worked out fine, but still, I could have been even better, a little more stringent with money. I mean, buying fiancé's cars and stuff. It ain't if you got it, right? But I did, and I shouldn't have done it, and rings and homes and... Like, I was just doing too much, man. So I would kind of change. Look at Greg. Look at me. Greg, I made that dough, though.
Hey, you did.
I mean, people.
If you're just buying cars, giving them away.
Right.
Sure, right. Man,
you had to earn it a little bit.
Hey, not to be emotionally driven by everything that comes out of your mouth. For me, there were some things. And I go back to even my time in Green Bay and then leaving. I was frustrated at specific individuals, and I let some of my frustration come out because of my emotions. Mm. And I got caught up in it. Didn't mean that I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that way, but, you know, I just wish
so
I
could. So, are you apologizing to Aaron Rodgers right now? Is that that?
I've already done that.
Oh, okay.
I'm like Kevin Hart. I'm not doing it again.
You get one time.
I've already done that.
One
and done. I've done that to him and publicly. That's over.
That's it.
You know what? When I really think about it, my biggest regret in life is not taking school more seriously. Mm. I could have been a hell of a student. But I chose to be a hell of a social person. Mm. And I regret it.
That's deep.
That's
right
smart,
there.
Yeah.
I regret it.
Yep. And you are smart. What happened? How you get them C minuses in Ball State?
A lot of them, too. Some D's. Boy, I hoodwinked some professors. Time to put on our thinking caps. Greg Jennings and Dante Jones are back. As you all know, I'm a journalist, and we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer, Columbia's very own. Marcellus Riley.
Gucci.
So we're going to take a deeper look at a big issue in sports. Got a special hat for Marcellus. Bring it out. Or Merk Ellis. Whoa. Bring it out for Merk Ellis.
Merk Ellis. Y'all better stop them streets. Respect, Darnell. Respect, right. Homeboy.
Back to the Gucci.
Let's return to the NBA. Oh, you got your glasses, too.
Yeah, I mean.
For all the trade rumors swirling around, the Lakers appear to be taking a toll, with L.A. suffering a 42-point shellacking by my beloved Pacers last night. At some point, LeBron ended up sitting all by himself on the Lakers bench. And after the game, he was asked if the noise was affecting the locker room.
You know, right now, they've just never been a part of it. And, you know, they're hearing it every single day. And I know that the worst thing that you can do right now is be on social media. And I know all young guys love social media. So, you know, that definitely can't help.
Would you advise your young teammates to avoid social media right now?
I think you know, if it bothers you, then yes. If it bothers you, then yes. If not, then don't worry about it. I mean,
LeBron talked about the best thing to do would probably be just to stay off social media. Have you taken any steps like that?
Definitely, but you know, it doesn't really matter because you know it's everywhere. It doesn't matter, so.
Do you think collectively this group is expecting to?
Maybe I should bird box. That might help. Just wear a heavy bandana somewhere.
All right, listen, I think social media has had a huge impact on the sports world, a huge impact on athletes. I don't think it's been written about, addressed, analyzed very much. But for me, I think much, if not all, of the impact has been negative. I don't see any of it contributing into a positive way in terms of performance, team chemistry, interaction with teammates, interaction with fans. I don't even think that's an improvement. I think the fans, there's too much interaction and a lot of it's negative. I think social media has been a detriment to athletes.
All right, in totality, I think it's been a huge benefit for athletes. In totality, obviously we know there are cases and circumstances where it's not been the most positive of things, but you got to think about it. One, it's an app. You can either log in or log off. Like, just log on, log off. It's just that simple. It's a 7-inch rectangle if you got the iPhone I got. And it's just that simple. If you want to go into that fake virtual world, go in. If you don't, get out. Here's the thing. It's biblical. The gates to heaven are narrow and few come between. Guess what that means? Everything ain't for everybody. Me, it's for me. I was in the league before social media, and I remember MySpace. Now, I remember being a first adopter of Facebook.
I love MySpace.
Boy.
Says a lot.
My teammates were looking at me. I mean, it was unreal. Beyond the connection for the fans, but let's talk about some of the positive things that comes from social media. There was a day when you played that the only way you could be relevant is if you played. Like, when you're done, you were done. Now, social media is a vehicle by itself that can make you relevant even if you're beyond playing. Like, and actually, it makes you a greater player when you're done talking about yourself and other people. You're great. Why are you great? I was like, in moments. But now, social media, it accumulates that. Beyond that, moments like J.J. Watt raising nearly $40 million in relief efforts. Mm. I mean, you can't do that without social media. You can't run around the NFL pre-social media and get that much attention and that much love. So for me, the good outweighs the bad.
The social media has had a negative impact on the athlete himself, on performance, but it has had an overall positive effect on sport. For the athlete, it's hard to turn off the negative comments. You may have 100 positive comments from fans that really adore you,
and you pay attention to the 10 that are negative from the guy with no picture on his page and 3 followers. And that may affect you more than all the love that you received. And that is the negative part of it. And subconsciously, it affects you. It affects your performance. You're always looking for approval. Like, that happens to the athlete now. And you see why some superstars, when it comes to playoff time, just cancel their social media out and focus on the game and not focus on opinions, because it can deter you from being your best self and not pay attention to the positives of yourself and help you sink into a small depression while playing your sport.
It definitely has a negative effect on athletes today. And there are positives, but I'm going to focus on the negatives to what you said, because we as athletes, we tend to, even in our own world, basketball, football, like, we can get 10 catches, 100 yards, whatever the case may be, and I can have that one drop. What am I going to focus on, that one drop? Social media is the same exact way. You just alluded to it. I can literally scroll down my Twitter feeds and my Instagrams and likes and everything, and there's that one person that says that one thing. And I could not respond to all the positives. But the one person is like, I don't want to run from this dude. He ain't got no, you know what, I'm going to comment back. And that just gives the attention right where it doesn't even need it to be given. And for me, as a player and players in this league, I can look at Kyle Kuzma in that interview. He is affected by it. It has impacted him. LeBron James, yeah, you might not be affected by it because you've dealt with it before right now, but these young guys, yes.
Man, I do not understand that mindset. And I played in some of the social media, and I played my worst years during
old.
The social media. No, I retired at 32. So no, from 28 to 32.
But social media, I'm trying to help you understand it, the perspective of you were too old because it was the infancy stages of social media. Yeah, we all had it. Like, I first got into it in the middle of my career. But now, for the athlete, now it's getting way worse, and it takes some maturity as an individual to recognize that.
I don't even think it takes maturity. There are no successful clarity.
Clarity, and we don't get it until we get older.
Man, stop. First of all, anybody up at this table grew up playing sports, and guess what? The crowd was divided between boos and cheers. I didn't give a damn if you were booing against me. I'm going to shut you up. And I'm not going to shut you up by going in the stands. I'm going to shut you up by my performance. Second of all, once you get to social media and you're a baller, you know who just tweeted you? The valet, the dude that just parked your car.
You're right.
A damn? I care about the back of the class can't tell me how to answer these questions, teacher. So guess what? That's all social media is. The back of the class now has a voice and a forum. Right. And y'all listening. I'm in the front of the class raising my hand saying I'm paying attention to you. And that's my performance and the people that I trust.
Marcellus, the only thing I think you need to realize is just understand you're a unique individual.
Yeah.
And you come from a, particularly in this modern age, and I'm going to go a cut deeper here. There's a thing called Black Twitter for a reason. No other group has white Twitter, Latino Twitter, Black Twitter. And so Silicon Valley and the social media company, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly who they're catering to and who they're manipulating. And our demographic doesn't grow up primarily the way you did, with both parents and a solid foundation of support. We got a lot of kids from single-parent homes that, again, that affirmation, and that's that affirmation junkie that I'm talking about, and they need that positive, and they live and breathe by what's going on over Twitter. Mm. They're being manipulated. And so when I look at a lot of the athletes, I look at young people trying to find themselves and Twitter guiding them straight into the abyss.
The young athlete is way more sensitive than your generation, even my generation. They do cling more on to affirmation than we did, and we had to. And it takes some clarity to explain to them that there are no positive people who are doing something with their lives hating on Twitter. Like, you won't find the top of your industry or a CEO or the best players in the game going in people's comments and just tearing them down. And it takes you to look back at that and say, you know what? So these are all the people not happy with their own lives, and you have to break it down like that to them to be able to not look into that room.
Honestly, I don't even think it takes clarity. Just know who you are. if you know who you are, then yeah, I can hear, because we're going to hear it. Everybody talks about we can block out the chatter. No, you can't block out the chatter. You're going to hear the chatter. You're going to have to make a choice to eliminate what you hear or to take what you hear and let it either fuel you or just dismiss it. It's a choice. Know who you are. Be confident in who you are. And if you're not, you're going to fall to it every time.
And Greg, the point that I'm making is it takes an unconditional, loving adult to define for a young person who they are or help them discover who they are. And I look at a lot of the young athletes, and that element has been missing. And it's not just because the parents are gone. Sometimes the parents are letting the iPod, the video games raise their kid instead of, look, I'm so old that we had to talk to each other. There was no other entertainment. There was one phone, and my mama was on it most of the time talking to her sister. Again, and me and my brother didn't talk, and we didn't interact with our friends. And so I see a lot of lost kids, and I see smart people in Silicon Valley going, there's a vulnerable group of people out here that we can build a business off of, and we can manipulate. And I just see a lot of these young athletes struggling with it, and I feel sorry for them, to be honest with you.
Whitlock and Wiley, Greg Jennings and Mark Slareth are back. It's time to play Survivor, where somebody will get voted off the island. All right, let's move to the Los Angeles Rams, who are still reeling from their disappointing Super Bowl performance. Todd Gurley didn't even speak with the media yesterday as the team cleared out their lockers, so we don't get any more information about why he only touched the ball 11 times in the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Jared Goff did talk to reporters and continued to put the blame for the Rams' loss on himself. All right, Marcellus, there are rumors that there was a story written that, hey, would Sean McVay move on from Jared Goff if Kirk Cousins became available in a year or so? Yeah. And clearly there's been talk now about maybe trading Todd Gurley. If you had to choose, if you had to vote one off the island, Goff or Gurley?
Hey, can I buy another vote and get them both off the island the way they played in the Super Bowl?
Wow.
Humbums. respect to the homies. By position, I think it's a tie, really. But by position, because I devalued the running back position and it's valued less, I would say Todd Gurley. I've seen more moments of less Todd Gurley. Remember I told you the breakdown of his rookie year, even though it was a rookie of the year campaign. One out of the last eight games, he had 100 yards. The next year, he didn't have a 100-yard game at all. I saw longer stretches of lulls for Todd Gurley than for Jared Goff. And you can't get rid of quarterbacks. Like, I could get a dude at UPS right now and pay him $400,000, and he'll give me 3 yards, like 4 yards. But I can't go find quarterbacks everywhere, so by position, it's got to be Todd Gurley.
Yeah, I would go Todd Gurley as well. And I think just the history of the running back position, you think about this, 256 carries, 59 catches, 81 targets, just takes its toll on you. I mean, I picked up one fumble once. I did. Thought I was going to score. I got hit by about 14 people and fumbled. I mean, it was just like, it's ridiculous the punishment that those guys put themselves through. So you're talking about a quarterback who, just finished his third year. And in today's game, you don't hit your prime probably at the quarterback position until you're 32, where you start to get into your prime. Look at all these 40-year-old quarterbacks. Look at Ben Roethlisberger, 37. You know, Tom Brady, 41, just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Big Ben or Brady.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, 40. Brees.
We don't know what he is.
Not yet. But Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady at 24 years old.
Drew. Save these guys. Save them.
No, it's 100% true.
I'm throwing Todd Gurley off too. I am too. And it's simple because who has to work harder to survive on this island? Todd Gurley. When you look at the island and how the island is set up, Jared Goff, you know what? I will allow your opposition to confront you, but I will restrict them from eliminating you. Ooh. That's the type of island he's on. Todd Gurley ain't on that island. Mm-mm. The rules are different for him on this island.
Did y'all watch the Super Bowl?
I watched the Super Bowl.
Yeah. They both were bad.
Did y'all watch the game before the Super Bowl?
Okay.
Jared Goff. And again,
I did, but was Todd Gurley even present on the island?
Yeah, he ain't even played a game before Super Bowl.
We know what Todd Gurley is.
When?
He's one of the two or three best running backs in the NFL.
Most times.
We don't know what Jared Goff is.
Not when it matters.
We don't know what Jared Goff is at all.
He was an MVP candidate the last 2 years, just like Todd Gurley.
I know one thing. We got more production out of Sony Michel, Rex Burkett, and James White than we got out of Todd Gurley.
Mm.
Do we know?
That's how the way, if he played for Bill Belichick and the Patriots, he might have. They would have thrown him the ball.
Todd Gurley
looked good to me when they gave him the ball in that game.
Oh.
He looked explosive. If they could have got him out of space in the passing game.
We're having the wrong conversation. Yes, right? This conversation, we should throw Sean McVay off the island for that game.
Right.
That's what we need to do.
But again, I'm not convinced about Jared Goff about nothing. That dude like Blake Bortles, son.
I'm not convinced. I'm with Marcellus. If we could throw both of them off and replace them, they both would be gone. But you making me choose one, I'm throwing Todd Gurley off.
You've already paid Todd Gurley a bunch of money up front. And Jared Goff, you haven't spent that much money on. And again, I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy, but if McVay likes him and that's an opportunity.
No.
Hey, I'm selling a new stadium in a year. I like to sell it with a quarterback, not a running back. And a running back that has a shorter shelf life. Like, it's just so many wins. Like he said, 40 years old, you can still be a great quarterback. Go, 40-year-old running back. First of all,
show me where Jared Goff has been great for 16 games and a postseason.
And a postseason? That's not fair. Last year, he got knocked out.
Show me 16 games.
Show me what Todd Gurley's done that.
Todd.
A postseason?
The last few years, Jared Goff has been an efficient quarterback, a very good quarterback. Yeah.
We said the same thing about Joe Flacco.
You ran into New Orleans, one of the hardest places in the world to play, and you found a way to win a game there, and then you play the best coach in the history of this league,
right?
And he shut down and he outcoached your coach, and now you want to kick him.
CJ Anderson almost took Gurley's job.
Todd from the street. I love Todd Gurley. He put LeBron James against the Dallas Mavericks. he was nowhere to be found.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for LeBron James. Uncle Jimmy, what you got, a job interview? You all dressed up? You got a job interview?
I always got a job interview. I'm always trying to make some more money. Unlike you, who got enough money, some of us are still trying to get some money. You know?
Is your tailor on holiday? A little baggy over there.
Actually, to be honest with you, man, I'm glad you said that. This is from my tailor of the Midwest, Harold Pinner.
Harold Pinner's.
Harold Pinner.
You are goofy.
You got a funeral you going to? What?
Well, you know, I ain't going to a funeral, but I am about to murder this little essay you wrote this morning. Let's get to that.
All right, here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about LeBron James. Well, Jay Witt has a verse today about an only child. I didn't say these things about LeBron for clout. It wasn't for fame. It's not because my wit logs aren't selling the same. I just wanted to give you something you can feel.
Wit, you've been here before. I'm talking your world.
Yeah.
We all at the table, okay? Only one dude pull out the credit card every single time. Guess who that is? LeBron James. He's like, all this is on me, y'all. And Kuzma, all them dudes getting all pumped. Our game gonna be that much better because we with LeBron. Everybody gotta grab onto him. But he the one that dealing with that bill. So when you realize that, you gonna have different expectations of those at the table.
All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Message.
What's your take?
I think that the fact of you trying to say that LeBron James is the way he is based off of being the only child, I think is absurd.
I'm with you.
If not asinine.
Asinine.
Asinine. I know what I'm saying.
No, you don't. Why?
I'm with you.
You don't know any only children?
No, what I'm simply saying is, Jason, it don't matter if you the only one or if you the one of eight. It don't matter what number you in. It matters upon what you made of up on the inside. Mm. The first child just stupid as they child. It just depends.
I agree with that.
Jeffrey Dahmer was the only child.
Cool. Huh?
He is a mass murderer.
Mm.
Martin Luther King was the child of six or seven. What's your point?
My point is there are some certain characteristics that go along with being an only child, some of them good, some of them negative. And some of those negative things have manifested themselves on LeBron that show up every team he plays on. He's a bit selfish. He's a bit hard-headed. It's my way or the highway. He's very independent. He lacks the ability to trust in others, I believe.
And he's like that. Why?
Because he's an only child.
Let me ask you this. Serious quick. Do you find any of LeBron's characteristics? Do you share any of those?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I admit
that. But you're not the only child.
I get it, but me and LeBron share some characteristics.
And what is the characteristic?
Uh-oh.
You strive for greatness. It's your show. This is your team. And right now, you ain't got to come to the huddle if you don't want to. But I bet you me, Marcellus, and Darnell better be there.
No, that's
hey, wait a minute.
That's not remotely true.
That's very true.
That's not
it's your team, first, LeBron.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
No.
What am I, Kuzma out here? Hell no.
No, you Scotty.
Hey, that ain't bad.
You Scotty.
I'll take Scotty.
I mean, who's calling the shots, man? That's all I'm asking. Mm.
But again, there's a big difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron James, and I'm dead serious. I think it relates to upbringing and family background.
Whoa.
So you blaming millennials?
Jordan?
Yeah, Jordan,
you can argue who's a better player, but not who's a better person. We ain't going to go there.
We're not arguing about better person. We're arguing about better champion, competitor, athlete, performer in the NBA. That's been the entire discussion all day.
Beating up on his teammates? Who did that?
6-for-6 in the finals.
Okay, but I've been there 8 straight. And I ain't retired 3 times.
Jason, you ever been to a strip club?
Oh, you know he has.
You ever made it rain?
Thunderstorm.
How much money did you lose just this last time in Vegas?
What difference does it make?
Here's what I'm trying to tell you. My generation can't even conceive that. Ooh. But yet and still, you were the generation that LeBron looked up to. Ooh. All of this ignorance you see from LeBron is the ignorance from your generation. I ain't never made it rain. You made it rain.
Don't be jealous.
Where we going with this?
You done lied to him. You done had your day at the strip club. Now you want to try to say, you more mature than that. Don't do that. There's no sex in the champagne room. Well, how many thousands did it cost you to find out? It's a whole bunch of lonely-ass women in Kansas City since you done left. I almost was done with my degree. Now Jason gone, what am I going to do? But you want to talk about LeBron.
Can we stop? I
LeBron is a product of y'all.
My mama's watching this, Jim.
Not no more. Mama gone.
Mama's sitting there talking about telling brother. By time.
Job performance 15, I go up 5. Sure. All-time greatest, I knock him a point. Character, authenticity, say the same. 72, an all-star for LeBron James.
Mama's saying, you spending my medication money on them girls again. 95, he's a goat. He damn near perfect.
How you gonna go up in job performance? They got beat by 42 last night.
Hey, I saw him beat my Clippers off of 5 weeks rest. This sucker almost had a triple-double. And he almost had a triple-double last night.
Uncle Jimmy got me up here sweating.
Look, man. No, that ain't me.
I don't sweat on this show.
That's you need to understand that waistband.
The beef sweat.
Here's a quick and free way to finally stick to your New Year's resolution. Start listening to podcasts on Spotify. With more than 150,000 podcasts, including Oprah's Super Soul Conversations, The Tim Ferriss Show, Happier with Gretchen Rubin, and The Nutrition Diva, you can learn how to balance a budget, balance your diet, and how to feel balanced while meditating, even if you're still wondering if the cat's been fed. All podcasts on Spotify are free, and you can even download episodes for those times when you've gone off the grid, you know, to get that all newfound balance into your life. So start the year off right with podcasts on Spotify.